What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Be a lot of questions about, you know, staffing players and all those things. Just want to let you guys know that I'll take the week to make those decisions on staffing and all those things. So for everybody to get started, just want to let you guys know that.
All right, thanks. That was D'Amico. That was his basically an opening statement.
It was an opening, no comment.
Yes. That was before any questions got asked yesterday.
It was almost like he was being sued for coaching decisions. Yeah. We were like, this is an ongoing legal matter, and we will not make any statements about it until these legal matters have been resolved.
That's right. That's right.
Or so, when Lovie Smith promised, remember when Lovie Smith promised that he would give us an update on
Justin Britt?
Justin Britt.
<Yeah. laughs> We're still
exactly
waiting.
What, don't worry. I'll let you guys know later this afternoon. We never found out.
Can you imagine if Lovie Smith was at the Super Bowl this year for some reason, just bumping around Radio Row, and we get him? Yeah, he went to a Super Bowl as a coach. He's bumping around Radio Row, and we get him on the show, and we sit him down, and the very first question that you ask him, any update on Justin Britt?
What the hell happened with Justin Britt?
Yeah.
I got the sense with Justin Britt that it was kind of personal related, and they just didn't want to delve into it. So that was his way of just kind of pushing it off, and then nobody really wanted to press the issue. We had bigger fish to fry at that point.
On a three-win team, there was a lot going on, yeah.
There might be Justin Britt seems like a pretty interesting guy. There might be an interesting story there, you know, that maybe Justin Britt would probably be the best guy to answer it someday.
Yeah, or if Justin Britt's on Radio Row and he's there, we can celebrate that we found him, you know, like, and we can let Lovie know and text Lovie.
Lovie said you were going to be back that afternoon.
Right.
We'll make something up.
Yeah.
Did you hear what Lovie said about you when you were gone? He said you just up in RUNNOFT. It was
D'Amico Ryans was asked yesterday, I believe Cody Stutz asked him this, about the decision to start Shaq Mason in the loss to the Chiefs.
Yeah, Shaq had a really good week of practice. Shaq has been working a while to get back with us, get back out there, and thought he had a really good week. And overall, it was good. It wasn't good from collectively of how we protected, but it's not just one person.
So
no, it wasn't just one person. I guess the biggest thing is that, not that you want to make excuses, but there were more reasonable excuses or explanations for a couple of the bad pass protection plays. Like Tytus Howard is still, he's playing out of position. I think if he chose to accept playing guard, I think he could be a really good guard. I think if he really latched onto it, and I think him next to Laremy Tunsil, we saw in that game, there were times where they had some really nice examples of good run blocking to the left there, where it was Tytus and Laremy just taking care of business. But Tytus gave up that one bad sack up the middle. But like, okay, he's playing out of position. Blake Fisher's a rookie, and we knew he was probably going to be a 2-year project, so there's still hope there. It's Shaq Mason that there's been very little to get optimistic about with him moving forward. He's at that age. and his level of play is just not what it used to be. They got to bolster the interior offensive line.
How would you feel about an offensive line next year? As long as we're talking about this, if it were left to right, Laremy Tunsil at left tackle, Titus Howard at left guard, Juice Scruggs at center, some free agent signing that we feel good about at right guard, and Blake Fisher at right tackle.
I think I'd still be concerned about either Patterson or Scruggs at center. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm willing to wait and see what a new offensive line coach can do with those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going back to, you know, when Chris Myers ran a similar type of system here, there's some things you ask the center to do that are really hard athletically. And that's why, you know, Chris Myers was good partly because he was an undersized center. Yeah. He had a level of athleticism to him. There's, you know, not to insult Chris, he's not Jason Kelce, but similarly, like Jason Kelce, it helped him that he was a smaller guy.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it with a new offensive line coach. I'd feel okay about that. If they found another guard in free agency, if they drafted some absolute stud or something, and you've got a new offensive line coach, the new offensive line coach might make me feel actually okay with having maybe Scruggs at center and Patterson at guard or vice versa. Mm-hmm. If I can see some growth there, but there's got to be genuine competition. Our one listener was dead right, I think, in the preseason where he was upset that Patterson wasn't getting a chance seemingly to compete with Juice Scruggs.
Yeah.
I would agree. That guy was more angry about it than I was. I wasn't concerned about it necessarily. He was right to demand more competition. I think we need to see competition there. It really bothered me in general that they seemed like they were just giving Kenyon Green the job. I didn't get or understand that. That felt like, all right, this guy's getting this benefit of the doubt because he's a first-round pick. But there's got to be actual genuine competition.
And I'm guessing Kenyon Green is back for the last year of his rookie deal. This is the spring where they've got to make a decision on fifth-year options for guys in that class, the Stingley-Kenyon Green class. I can't imagine he's going to get his fifth-year option exercised at all. So that would make 2025 the last year of his deal. It costs as much to cut him as it does to keep him. It's literally the same. He has a fully guaranteed salary, and that's it for this coming season. It's about $5 million. And so it costs the same amount whether he's on the team or not.
He's another guy that I'm willing to see what he looks like with a different coach. And maybe it's a different offensive coordinator as well. We have no idea right now. So I'm open to all of that. What I don't have an appetite for is just spending the entire offseason thinking like, well, we trust these guys that they'll make some development, they'll be okay. There's got to be at least one more guy in competition with those other three guys that we're talking about now, and there can't be a single one of those young guys that's just given the position.
Yep.
I've got no appetite for that.
I'm with
that. It seems to go against everything that D'Amico and Nick would preach.
Yes.
Which is like, you don't just gift these guys positions if they haven't proven that they're capable of taking them.
Yep.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
D'Amico Ryans asked yesterday in his press conference, is the standard high enough with the Texans?
Well, the standard that I said is always high, and these guys hear me speak every week. It's about consistently improving every single week. Like, so the standard is there. It's just everybody being on board with that. That's where when you look at games, when it's like when the ball is snapped and it's action, you got to go make plays. Is everybody playing up to that standard? And if I'm correct, that's what I think CJ is mentioning. And that standard, when you get to the divisional game, like, you know what it takes to win. It takes everybody being bought in, dialed in, mentally and physically, like being on it and not having any lapses. That's that standard that we did not live up to in the game, and that's why we didn't win the game, because we didn't play up to our standard mentally or physically.
I wonder, you know, D'Amico is a self-proclaimed positive head coach. He coaches via positivity. You know, Every coach has a different style. This team played in several of their losses this year like a team that was kind of taking advantage of a teacher that's a little too light on them. You know what I mean? The degree of mistakes that get made by this team in some of these games, the penalties, the mental errors, the big plays, the tackling, like those all feel like things that that a more disciplined team wouldn't do these things. Like the Texans, they were an undisciplined team this year. You don't lose the number of games they lose where only 1% of the teams ever had this, or this happen and went on to lose the game. I don't think you lose some of the losses they had the way that they do, plus 3 turnover margin. You're losing games, multiple games this season,
I guess,
without being an undisciplined team.
That's a broad brush to paint an entire team with, I guess. So I guess my question is, like, what are the examples of the actual undisciplined nature of those performances?
The offensive line at various times.
But they sucked all the time.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. I guess because they actually – look, the offensive line looked pretty good versus bad defenses at times.
Mm-hmm.
I think that – I guess the question is undisciplined synonymous with immature? Are they one and the same? Because I think with the defense, there were times where it wasn't a lack of effort, like versus the Jets, for instance. I mean, those were just guys making bad plays in moments where that they should have, maybe a more mature or more experienced player would have made.
Yeah.
You know, Jalen Petrie was a few centimeters away from breaking passes up, but because he didn't break the pass up, they ran for touchdowns. Or Jalen Petrie just flat out got beat by Davante Adams on that. He just wasn't physically capable of covering Davante Adams in that moment.
Yeah.
And I didn't really think there was like a lack of effort in those moments. I think they just weren't a genuinely really good football team.
Mm-hmm.
And they played like a 500 football team for much of the year. I guess it's kind of like calling a team soft. I have a hard time just blankly calling them undisciplined when The yeah. simpler explanation is like they also just weren't really a genuinely really good football team.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Itemizing the undisciplinedness probably would make for a longer segment. You know what I mean? Like they were just
right. But it is. It's an accusation of. It's like calling somebody soft. Like, all right, I got to see evidence of where they're actually soft and not just. It's a shorthand way of saying that they sucked. If you say they're undisciplined, I think they weren't as good as they looked on paper.
Mm-hmm.
The undisciplined part. They have. The first half of the season, offensively especially, the penalties were out of control.
Yeah.
And, yeah, is that a lack of discipline? I think so. But they cleaned that up. I guess I just more lean towards, no, on offense, they just weren't good. They just weren't competent as I wanted them to be.
Where do you come out on the tackling? Is that just, hey, this is how they're coached, and that's really more on D'Amico maybe than it is
Yeah, I think
him?
It's on D'Amico. Yeah. I disagree with D'Amico and his philosophy on tackling.
Yeah.
And it's honestly, it's a little bit of an offshoot of the fact that there's actually very little good tackling instruction in the NFL. I've told you before, I never actually had somebody really teach me how to tackle in football
mm-hmm.
until I was in my fourth year in the NFL. Right. I had coaches who thought they were coaching and teaching tackling, but yep. they actually didn't know what they were talking about. And I think maybe D'Amico's just never actually been exposed to good tackling instruction. It might have been something that he did well as a player naturally, but there's very, very few guys out there that know how to teach it the right way. I would advocate bringing in an actual tackling coach like other defenses have done before. The Seahawks, when they were really good, had a rugby dude and they used a lot of rugby drills. But D'Amico has flat out said that they don't worry about missed tackles. And that part of it's foreign to me. I don't. The swarm mentality, it's almost like just gunning up a bunch of threes and thinking that's enough.
Yeah.
You know? Like, no, it's okay to shoot a bunch of threes, but you got to be taking quality threes, and you got to be good at shooting the threes. I feel like this thinking that the swarm mentality is going to cover up all the blemishes in tackling.
Yeah.
I think that is the wrong approach to take. I think he's flat out wrong in that approach.
All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll hear from Joe Mixon in the next segment. What could Joe Mixon be alluding to? We'll ask John Lopez when we do the toss here. We're gonna run Joe Mixon's contention that Nick Caserio has something cooking. Is he just kind of saying it, or is there something in mind that Joe Mixon has? We'll talk about that. If you haven't heard it yet, you're going to want to listen to this because this leads into what do the Texans need to get done this offseason with the roster. We'll do that coming up next.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.